Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dunn.
Sarah Burnett.
Happy New Year, girl.
Hey, happy New Year to you.
I got a question for this brand new year for you.
Mm-hmm.
And for you alone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what's ridiculous?
I do. Ridiculously good.
You gonna spread it open and share it with
her,
brother?
Yeah, I am. It's kind of a mashup.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
It's kind of a mashup. It's the mashup of the Grateful Dead and John Mayer.
What? How is that?
And what's ridiculously good?
They have like a new soap.
No, it's not recent.
Okay.
But I was just thinking that what's really ridiculously good is John Mayer's solo on Althea on the Wrigley Field July 1st, 2017 recording.
Okay, very specific.
Like if I want to feel really good
yes.
and just get loose,
uh-huh.
can, you know, just... Just yeah. get loose.
Take your shoes off.
I listen to that.
Run your feet through the grass.
Yeah, and I listen to it really loud.
Uh-huh.
And then the
Let
other
it go
thing.
Go through your bones.
Well, it's kind of like if I need to fall asleep, uh-huh. I listen to that song Killing the Blues by Robert Plant and Alison Krauss. Puts me right to sleep. I mean, it's a beautiful song, but it's very relaxing.
Yeah. That's what every artist
that
wants to hear.
That version of Althea.
That one song you do. Oh, my goodness. Puts me right under.
Oof la la.
So Althea, huh?
That version, the Wrigley Field version.
So the ridiculous part is your reaction
it's
every time?
So I get ridiculous. Uh-huh. It's so ridiculously good. How is it allowed to exist? It's so good.
I do
That's
not.
The question.
I wish I had answers for you.
I run out. I yell that into the road.
Yeah, you come to me asking
the,
so
asphalt.
Little. And here I have no answers at the edge of the asphalt.
How's Aaron? How is it that so good?
I do not know. I don't even think it's mathematically possible to tell.
No, it really isn't.
Well, I got a question for you.
That's what's ridiculous, by the way.
Okay, that's a heck of ridiculous.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know how like we do a year in review, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was looking back at the year and all the various crimes. And let me tell you something. This year's perps, they stacked at least 5 years worth of crimes into a 1 year sack.
Dear.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the grab bag of the most best ridiculous crimes of 2023.
Yeah.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder free and 100% ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Zavin, did you have a good New Year's Eve?
I did. I don't remember it, but I did.
Oh, that must be really good.
I didn't wake up in jail, so win-win.
So, hey, there you
what
go.
About you? What'd you do?
I went to bed at 9.
Okay. Started it rough and tough on
I just,
your normal
I
roll.
I did it like you're supposed to.
Yeah. Yep. Tucked in early.
So good.
You were asleep, and they go, I'm innocent into the new year.
Yeah, kept me out of trouble.
Look at us both.
Look
huh?
at us.
Well, let's just jump into this because I said this episode is stacked.
Mm-hmm.
Like my homegirl, the Gooch, piled rare library books. Stacked.
Stacked. Like right. a brick house.
Exactly.
Mighty, mighty. I think I just hurt myself doing that.
I think I saw you pull a muscle. Something lifted.
I know it did. My spirit.
No, both of our spirits.
I caught the spirit on that one.
I'm still feeling it over here. This first story, this one takes place across the pond in the UK.
Okay.
That's for the United Kingdom.
Yes.
Now, the headline alone should get you going. You ready?
Uh-huh.
British police forced to taser a retired naked opera singer after he got busy demolishing a nursing home armed with a bow and arrow.
Wait. Is he? I like retired naked opera singer. It's like I retired from naked opera singing.
Exactly. I was when I read that, I was like, are those in the
Shouldn't
right
it
order?
Be a naked, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Uh-huh. But there's a whole theory about it, the orders of adjectives, and I'm fairly certain this breaks that order.
Most definitely.
Anyway, government name, Mark Holland.
Uh-huh.
Vocal range, baritone.
Okay.
Yeah, the 63-year-old former opera singer, as the headline said, now retired, he attended London's Royal College of Music, so he was like, you know, about that life.
Good
and he went on, brilliant career in opera.
Yeah.
Now his career is over, so he'd swap stages of the world for the quiet of a nursing home, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
He fit right in. It was a spot called Belmar Nursing Home. It's in Lytham St. Anne's on the western coast of England.
Oh, lovely.
Right, very nice. You can see Ireland. Anyway, it's important to note that Holland moved into this nursing home on his own volition.
Okay.
His choice. But then one day, he felt like a prisoner because Mark Holland was denied a trip to go shopping. And like Holland Oates, he said, I can't go for that.
Now, no, normally, nobody holds back Marky Hall's halls.
No, are you kidding me? Especially when he's on his way to go pick up a pint.
Was he going to like Tesco?
Well, it turns out, normally he was allowed to leave the nursing home, right?
Uh-huh.
Normally they would let him go out. And it wasn't like, oh, he's popping down to the sex shop. We can't have him come back with inappropriate stuff for the other elders. It wasn't like
right?
he's that guy, right? No, he would just go down on his own leisure, at his own choice. He would just pop down to any of the shops. But the staff was worried because recently Mr. Holland had started drinking too much.
Oh, it was his opus.
Yeah. So they were like, nah, mate, no trip for you. Now, once denied, what did the retired opera singer do? Well, first, you know, he stormed off to his room like a sullen teen.
Right.
Right. And he clomped off and he locked himself in his room. But he didn't stay there long, Elizabeth, because he came back out ready to fight.
Okay.
With song.
Yes.
Yes. Like his life was a musical. Mr. Holland came out swinging with his vocal cords. He was also buck naked. So he comes out buck naked and starts belting out opera tunes at full-throated volume, right? And he's going to fight them back with songs.
When you've been told you're drinking too much and you counter that by coming out
naked. Singing full-throated,
yeah,
you're just proving a point.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, he was also armed with a bow and a quiver of arrows. So...
Okay, what's up,
also
Robin?
Not going to help your argument about the drink. But apparently the sight of a fully naked opera singer, belting like Pavarotti, armed like Robin Hood, this struck fear in the hearts of the nursing home staff.
Well, yeah, you see a longbow coming at you with a dangler underneath.
Dude, if anyone's going to really respect the longbow, it's the French and the English.
English, exactly.
So anyway, they immediately fled the scene. And if you're wondering, what about the elders? Did they just leave them behind?
Them?
No, the staff took the nursing home residents with them downstairs. They hid out in the basement. Meanwhile, topside, Mr. Holland was still working on his opus of destruction, right? So he set off, by this point, fire extinguishers. He's smashing in doors.
Oh,
he
my God.
Fired off his bow and let some arrows into the wall, right? He went outside the nursing home and he gathered up some concrete blocks and just chucked them into the air, and then they fell onto the visitors' cars and he giggled to himself.
Whoa.
Yeah. So now, meanwhile, sheltering below, the nursing home staff, they contact the local police and they're like, send down the bobbies. And so the bobbies from Blackpool responded.
Uh-huh.
Now, the cops, they closed the roads in and out of the nursing home. That's their first move. We need to close the roads.
Wow.
I was like, that's strong.
They had to establish a perimeter.
Exactly. So then they lay siege to the building. I'm like, we're going to take over the building. But rather than storm the building, like, you know, some cops in Die Hard, these cops, they called in a professional hostage negotiator. Yes. So Mr. Holland, he was mostly done with his opus of destruction at this point. He kind of calmed down, but he wasn't done with his one-man protest. So when he catches sight of the cops and they're like professional hostage negotiator, he is offended, Elizabeth. He took steady and true aim and he let one fly and the naked Robin Hood whoop, hit an arrow that nearly hit a cop, right? He plucked one back, and then this was enough for the cops to escalate things. They're like, whoa, 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 buddy, that's a real arrow.
Right.
You almost hit Nigel. We can't have that, right? So they step in, they taser the naked opera singer. They just try to drop him. But this was, you know, apparently not his first tasering. I don't know, because a retired opera singer, he took it like a man. Just
hell yeah.
Upright and ambulatory. It did not pause him in the least. So
that's,
the cops.
That's my bare bottom silver fox.
Exactly. So this So this silver fox.
Bare-bottomed silver fox.
Bare-bottomed silver fox.
A little tushy.
The cops were like, what are we going to do? They're like, well, hit him again with the charges. So they pop him again, right? Taser him a second time. And then, as you might say, for kicks and giggles, they just taser him a third time, right? So this time, the naked opera singer, he finally gets the message of the electricity. He's like, okay, I'll calm down. So he regains his sense of self. Then he walked his happy ass back to his room, and he locks the door again. Like, I've had enough of this, right? So the cops were like, no, that's not how this plays out, mate. They broke down the door, and they arrested Mr. Holland. They interrupted his opus of destruction. And now, thanks to all that, the retired opera singer was court-ordered to pay for all the damage he'd done to the nursing home and to the visitors' vehicles.
Did they make a move?
I don't have an answer for that, but a lot of people suspected yes.
They're I'm like, just going to assume
they let him
stay. I
doubt he's still
stay.
A member of that community.
You know, you wreck shop, and then they're like, you know, we all, how many of us, who among us hasn't had a moment where, like, think about how liberating that would be.
Just taking off
just,
all
like,
your clothes.
Shooting things and breaking things and being like, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I, you know.
Just like have like a 3-year-old temper tantrum, but like you strip off all your clothes.
Exactly.
You grab some rudimentary weapon.
I don't have the guts to do that.
Well, I don't, I mean, I
or,
thankfully.
You know, it's like sometimes like you're in the store and you see a kid having a tantrum and you want to go up to him and be like, dude, I feel the same way. I'm just not allowed to do this.
I always, I give him the raised fist. Like, go on, little man.
Like, I don't want to be in this Target either.
Yeah, exactly.
This is hell.
You're expressing my irritation too. Well, now that we've set the mood, we've created a vibe.
Yes.
Let's get into the rest of the best of the most ridiculous crimes of 2023. Now, back in January, the Dallas Zoo was hit by a wave of bizarre crimes.
No.
Yeah, first up, Nova, a clouded leopard, escaped from her enclosure, and police were called out to investigate, and they noticed that her enclosure had been intentionally cut by human hands.
Oh.
They're like, dun, 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 open
well,
a criminal investigation.
She really does go. She's not Nova.
Oh! The Spanish jokes
look
over
at me,
here!
Bilingual.
Now, the next day, zookeepers found a second enclosure had been tampered with.
Uh-oh.
This time, it was the home of the Langur monkeys. Yes. And then in January of this year, two Emperor Tamarin monkeys were also eventually and fully stolen from the zoo.
Aww.
Not just freed, but taken.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, are you familiar with the Emperor Tamarin monkey?
No.
It looks like Sam Elliott had a long weekend in the jungle. And then months later, voila, the Tamarin monkey walks out.
That kind of sounds like the coolest monkey ever.
This is what it looks like.
Oh my God, it does have Sam Elliott mustache. Wow.
You got it, kid. So this, the Dallas police, they considered this wave of crimes at the zoo and they opened a criminal investigation file. There's like something that must be at the bottom of this. All right,
yeah.
So the cops, they turned to the community for assistance as they often are wont to do. This paid off because the Dallas PD, they received a tip. An anonymous tipster said the monkeys could be found in the basement of a church.
What?
Yes, Tanya Thomas, the daughter of the pastor of the vacant church, spoke with local news outlets and she said, it's cold, it's dark, and whoever put the monkeys in there had to use flashlights or something, but yeah, they could have died in there.
Whoever put the monkeys in there.
Whoever did it. She later added, and I quote, people in the neighborhood said they would see him in the neighborhood walking with different animals, so we thought it might be him. He's from the neighborhood and visited our church. That's how we knew it was him. Now, the him in question, the congregant that they stitched
yes.
on to the police, the cops eventually found their man. He was 24-year-old Davian Irvin.
I hope that all of the animals bit his face off. That's all I ever hope when people try and have wild animals with pets.
I know you do.
I know.
That's why I was looking forward to telling you
this
one.
Yes, I'm very excited.
So under questioning, the perp put together the pieces of this strange monkey-shaped puzzle for the police, the one that they were stuck trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And Irvin confessed to the Dallas PD that he had broken into the zoo late at night. He snuck into the monkey section. He opened the enclosures. He stole two monkeys, then secreted them on his person. And he took his stolen monkeys onto the DART train. That's like their local. The Dallas area rapid transit train.
Dart.
He explained to the cops that he did this because he loves animals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the Dallas PD, they had plenty of evidence that helped corroborate Irvin's story because it turns out folks at the Dallas Zoo had recalled how Irvin, who they recognized from sketches, had visited the zoo often. And he'd often peppered the staff with strange questions, not the type of questions you normally would expect. Questions, he was often writing the answers he was told, dutifully recording them on tissue paper. So there he is, scribbling in his hand on tissue paper. And he'd ask questions like, how do you catch the birds? And where do they go at night? Right? So he also asked about the tamarin monkeys, saying, where can I get one? And how do y'all get them in at night? Also, how do you handle them? Oh, by the way, are they aggressive?
What do they eat that they sell at Walmart?
Exactly. So all this suspect is all hell. A day after he broke into the zoo, stole the monkeys, and took them on a train trip across Dallas, the police broke into the vacant church, and they found the missing monkeys. But no Irvin. Yes. He was spotted later by an employee from the Dallas Aquarium. The employee alerted the police. I don't know. They have like a network or whatever. The Dallas Aquarium's like, that's the zoo guy.
Oh, it's in their Slack channel.
Exactly.
Like the animal folks.
They were about it. They had like police like messages. Like they knew like that the APB had been released. Anyway, so they confronted Irvin, who was on a DART train at the time. No monkeys with him. Mm-hmm. And he immediately confessed to police that he had stolen the monkeys. And he had also broken out the clouded leopard. So that was him. He did that. So
where's the leopard?
He wanted to pet him. Get this. He wanted to steal the leopard, but the clouded leopard was like, no, son, we're not doing that.
And
he was like, well, come on. And the clouded leopard's like, I am a clouded leopard. This will not end well.
Do you not see this situation?
Exactly.
So where did it go? He
just went. He was stuck in the zoo. He let it out of its enclosure, and then he's like, come on with me. And the leopard gave him those, like, I will eat your face. And he was like, I think I believe
Leopards
you.
Leopards have eaten my face.
And he let him go. And so the leopard just wandered off.
Oh, wow.
Now, this next one's a short one, but it may be my favorite because it's so random. It's from April. Dateline, April 4th, Carroll Township in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. At approximately 7 a.m., the Carroll Township Police Department received a phone call. Someone had stolen a school bus, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
The caller said they'd heard that the Gettysburg, PA State Police reported a stolen school bus, and, well, they'd spotted it driving on the road. I don't know why they know what the Gettysburg State Police are up to at 6 a.m. in the morning, but
hey,
anyway.
Looking for buses.
The bus thief was a man named Tony Saunders, age 24.
Okay.
Now, the reports that initially emerged, they raised more questions than they answered.
Uh-huh.
Because Tony Saunders had been spotted in the school bus parking lot in the wee hours of the morning. That makes total sense. But he was seen dragging a dead deer. That makes no sense. Now, the perp Saunders popped open one of the school buses and dragged the dead deer inside with him. Then he slid into the driver's seat and he fired that bad boy up and he hit the road in his stolen school bus.
He was spotted. Who spotted him and didn't do the whole, if you see something, say something?
I think it was like other people who worked at the school bus
yard.
There
are times to mind your business.
Oh, yeah.
And there are times to not mind your business.
Exactly. So the cops were called by these very same people.
Okay.
And a patrol car spots the school bus out on the road. They begin a hot pursuit. Early into the chase, it becomes obvious that this 24-year-old is not familiar with driving a school bus.
Oh, God.
He's swerving all over the road, fishtailing the back end out. He seemingly had trouble finding his turn signal because, as the police reported, quote, officers observed that the lights on the bus were turning on and off intermittently. So, I don't know what that's about. Anyway, the chase of the school bus, it lasts for hours, crosses multiple county lines. Yeah, he's driving around with a dead deer for...
How do you do a pit maneuver on a school bus?
It's too big, I think, for the cops to pull it off, right? It's got double wheels in the back, it's raised,
well,
they can't...
Yeah, spike strips.
You have to add speed to the vehicle to get the pit maneuver to work, but I don't know if they could pull that one off. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You need another school bus.
You need one school
frankly.
Bus. It's school bus on school bus crime. So during this chase, Saunders often changed lanes without reason, drove dangerously, so they were intimidated, right? The cops decide, okay, we have to stage a daring traffic stop, just
I
like Elizabeth
it.
Would want us
I
to.
I love daring.
So they attempt to guide the school bus to the side of the road, and Saunders, he complied at first, but this was a head fake, because as soon as the cops pulled over and stopped, he floored it, smashed down on that gas pedal, and took off down the road. At one point, he almost flipped the bus going across a median strip. Somehow, he regained control. He kept the police chase going to reach the residential neighborhood, where he finally stops the school bus, and he hops out, flees on foot, leaving the dead deer behind. Just like, so much for the,
of course.
Can't carry that much weight. Having given the police the slip at this point, momentarily, the perp thought he might get away with it. So, local residents, though, they were on the case. They were like you, special investigators at heart. They give chase. They're like, what are you doing running around in here at this hour in the morning?
Yeah.
So the bus thief, he's on the run. He decided, you know what? I look far too recognizable. People, they will spot me running and they'll know exactly who I am. So he decided mid-run to switch things up. He started to strip naked, but he didn't stop running. He's just pulling off clothes he's running through the neighborhood. Now the police, they catch back up to this now naked perp. I have to assume he was still wearing his socks and shoes.
Oh,
at least,
maybe.
I hope he was, because running barefoot on pavement.
But getting your pants off over the shoes?
Oh, yeah, that's difficult. Good point.
Yeah.
Maybe
so I think he
loose.
Kicked the shoes first.
Yeah, good point. You're
and
probably
maybe
right.
Had like one sock on.
Just one left. So the dude's luck didn't hold out because the cops, they cornered him. He gets arrested. But still, the officers had to wonder, why? Why did he do this? Why did he make us run all this way? Saunders had a few answers for them. He told the police he'd been out driving that morning. He drove a BMW and he crashed it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say if he hit the dead deer that he was seen dragging. He just said he crashed his BMW and then he showed up with a dead deer.
Well, the deer died of COPD. It was totally unrelated.
Exactly. Just an old buddy of his is in the car. So he did tell the cops that he planned to use the deer as fertilizer for his vegetable and herb garden back
God.
Home.
Oh, God. That's not how that works.
I don't know if that's good for fertilizing.
No.
Do you want deer flavored?
Well, it's just not, that's
carrots?
Not what you mean. You want to collect its poop.
Yeah, well, this was
not that.
Not much of an explanation, but it was only answers he gave. So when all was said and done, Saunders was charged with fleeing a police officer, receiving stolen property, 18 counts of resisting arrest, 75 counts of reckless driving.
No way.
I told you he could not drive that school bus.
Wow.
Okay, let's take a break. And when we're back, we'll get into the summer months of this year.
Oh, I can't wait. Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Elizabeth.
Zarin.
You know how when you read or you hear some ridiculous crime, 7 times out of 10, it takes place in Florida?
Yeah.
And you know why this is, right?
Yeah, the sunshine laws.
Could you explain that?
So it's mandatory that it's public record, all mm-hmm. of the criminal arrests and
yes.
such. And so because it's openly searchable to the public, we can see everything that happens. But yeah. other states don't have that.
And then journalists don't point this out when they cover the stories.
Right. So it makes it sound like everything is in
Florida.
But I guarantee you there's even wilder stuff in like Arkansas, California.
Now, I'm glad
Nevada.
You said that, because when I was coming up with this roundup of the most mm-hmm. ridiculous crimes of 2023, I kept that in mind. I was like, you know what? Florida gets picked on.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to unfairly repeat this bias that Florida is some like lawless sunshine hellscape of strange crimes and even stranger people. So what did I do? I said, Zarin, you're better than that. I mean, I got people down in Florida, Elizabeth. I've spent time, a lot of time in the Sunshine State. And I got to say, it's an amazing state.
Oh,
I like Florida.
I've never
been
there.
Oh my God, it's awesome. It's like the white sand beaches alone are the reason to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, it's a great state. I love the whole thing, even Miami. Now, I don't like to see it get unfairly disparaged. However, I do have one hell of a Florida man story for you. All of that aside.
See, I am an equal opportunity disparager.
Well, did you know there's a beverage called Florida Man Beer?
Wait.
Yes. In all,
like
of your,
a microbrew.
All of your mashups, you missed out on
Florida
Man and
that sounds
beer.
Like something out of like an Archie McPhee catalog.
Dude, it sounds like a flagrant cash grab designed for taking advantage of like idiots going viral all the time. It's like the TMZ of beers.
But I don't think the Florida men are drinking Florida Man
no,
beer.
No, it's
Is it a
exactly.
microbrew?
It is. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when they have them clever names.
Mm-hmm. No, turns out, though, this is a beer from a Florida brewer.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, here's how the headline goes.
Yes.
Drunk and disorderly Florida man was busted while drinking Florida man beer, cops report. So in June, a man from Florida was arrested on a Tuesday night after he was spotted, quote, yelling at traffic while walking in the roadway in front of traffic and refusing to stop.
He's like, I'm walking here.
Exactly. Now, this unofficial spokesman for Florida Man Beer, he did his part to spread the word about this full-bodied hoppy flavor of Florida Man's Double India Pale Ale. Mm. Yeah, the brew from Cigar City Brewing, it bills itself, quote, as brewed with a nearly criminal amount of hops and a moderate bitterness that just about matches Florida Man's general disposition.
Oh my God. What's Cigar City? What city is that?
I assume it's Miami.
Tampa.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Tampa?
I think it's Tampa, yeah.
Tampa, okay. Producer Dave is saying Tampa because they do have a lot of cigar rolling in Tampa as
Whatever.
That makes probably makes more sense.
Okay.
I don't think the Cubans would want to call Miami Cigar City. I think they'd probably be against that. Anyway, if you ask this dude, Seth Thomas, 39, of Seminole, Florida, which is right near Tampa Bay, he was just out for a late night walk, drunk as hell on some good old fashioned Florida Man beer. Just a man out on the town, Elizabeth. Now, if you were curious, this is what Seth Thomas looks like.
Let's see. It's a scab. I thought it was a tattoo.
That's a fresh scab. That's a series of fresh scabs.
I was like,
scabs.
That is not a very good tattoo.
I'm thinking he got in a fight with another Florida man.
Probably.
Like a Florida man championship.
I think he went face to face with the pavement.
I think so, too. Just based on the pattern of where it hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, high on the cheekbone.
The
and
forensics
on the...
indicate that he took a digger.
The splatter pattern. Now, keeping crimes alcoholic for the moment, I got a fun one for you. We don't typically like to make fun of DUIs.
And no.
Because, you know, we don't like any of the stupid crimes that put lives at risk.
Yeah, it's absolutely the dumbest thing and the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, we prefer stupid fun crimes, ridiculous,
exactly.
Ludicrous in nature. And a DUI is most certainly none of those.
No.
But this particular DUI, it was so ludicrous, it crossed over the line and it moved into ridiculous territory. In May, a 28-year-old Colorado man tried to outsmart the cops with the aid of his trusty canine best friend. The driver of a Dodge Challenger,
oh boy,
yeah, pause for laughter, was pulled over by a Springfield police officer. The driver did as instructed. He pulled over to the side of the road. He stopped his car. The cop stopped behind him. Then as the officer ran his plates, he noticed the driver switching seats with the passenger who was in shotgun. Elizabeth, the passenger in shotgun was a dog. So the driver
what
was
kind
hoping
of dog? That the
very good driver. I guess the driver was hoping that the cop was a dog lover and be like, "Oh, you just letting your buddy drive you home?" Or I don't know. Anyway, the officer steps out of his patrol car, approaches the car. The driver, now on the passenger side, he opens the passenger side door and he gets out of the car and he tells the officer, unprompted, that he wasn't driving. The dog behind the wheel.
Oh God!
The officer asks, "Sir, have you been drinking?" So the driver's like, "About that," and then took off running. Ditched the dog, ditched the car, ran away. He made it about 20 yards before the officer tackled him. He arrests him. This is my favorite part of the story.
Yeah.
There were two other passengers in the car besides the dog.
No.
There was a man and a woman in the back seat. And get this, they were both sober.
What?
And no, there's more.
The
car belonged to the sober woman in the back seat.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say it belonged to the dog.
The dog has paper on the car.
What? Yeah,
the officer never did get an answer for why the sober people were in the back and not driving
Colorado. Okay.
The driver was arrested, and the cop did the nice thing. He let the sober couple take the dog and go home.
Good for them.
I thought you'd like
God,
that.
My God, what was... I don't even...
So many questions.
I want to be there at the point when they all decided to enter the vehicle.
Exactly.
And like any conversations
that
had.
Out?
And I need to know, yes or no, was the dog wearing sunglasses?
Of course he was.
Okay, good.
He was a Labrador in sunglasses. That's
he's
why
a gold
he's like,
retriever.
He's like, you can drive, bro. Okay, I got a little game for you, Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to read a headline. See if you can guess the missing word.
Okay. Ooh, I like this.
Australian arsonist arrested with in his underwear.
An arsonist.
An Australian arsonist arrested with
blank
in his underwear. Any guesses?
I'm going to say dynamite.
Oh, very close. It starts with a D.
Oh.
Ducklings.
Duty.
Ducklings.
Ducklings?
Australian arsonist arrested with ducklings in his underwear.
Wait, how does that all... Oh.
So in August, an Australian man was arrested on suspicions of arson. The 31-year-old was arrested after there was this wave of random structure fires, 12 in total, right? So there was this fire in a loading dock. There was one behind a school. There's one inside of a real estate office. Another one just in a parking lot. Then there's a bunch of dumpsters on fire. The cops were like, this is a person. We just got to find this guy.
Yeah.
So they find the alleged arsonist. And then when he's caught and arrested, the cops are like, you know, doing the normal pat down.
and they find in his underwear a pair of baby ducklings just tucked into his boxers, like he needs a crotch warmer.
He was wearing pants on top of this.
Exactly.
And two ducklings living
just,
ducklings.
Just tucked down there with the,
not like, you
with
know,
the bait and tackle.
Dearly departed ducklings.
Yeah, no, two ducklings, yeah. I have no more information for you than that. So just going to let that one stand on its own.
And you have nothing else
on this.
That's
all I got for you.
Okay, Australians. If you know anything about this, I need an update.
On the ducklings.
What? Is that like animal cruelty on top of
it? He did get charged with animal cruelty.
There we go, see?
Yeah, you can't shove baby ducklings in your crotch and not get charged for animal cruelty. So next, I have another favorite from this year. In August, strange news came out of Georgia. More strange news. Mm-hmm. The headline, Georgia porch pirate arrested for stealing neighbor's entire front porch.
Like a literal porch pirate. Yeah,
exactly. Now, you may be thinking, that can't possibly be true, Zarin. That's like news of the world, right? That's like something you see like in a shopping market while you're waiting. You're like, oh, look what's going on Star. No, I would say this... This just, if you don't believe this is possible, it means you haven't spent enough time in Georgia. But I know you have spent time in South Carolina, uh-huh. So I know that you know this is possible.
I sure do.
So
I can envision the porch right now.
Right? Uh-huh. Meet Robin Swanger of Arnco, Georgia.
He's swanging.
Yeah, he had ignored the do not trespass signs that his neighbor had erected. And so when his neighbor returned home, he was stunned, mind you, Elizabeth, to see what Swanger had taken. As Officer Chris Stapler accurately summed it up, he said, it's a full 8x10 porch. It would be what goes on to a house for entry and exit. Well, thank you, Officer Stapler.
For the definition.
So the flummoxed torch. Officer, he further helpfully explained, some people may shrug their shoulders and say it's not a big deal, but when you take someone's property without their consent and the value of this porch is $3,000, you can't just go and take stuff off someone's property. Or just, you know, I don't know what to do with that. But yeah,
egress on that thing.
So especially when the thing you take is a whole ass porch. Right? That's anyway, how do you even steal a whole porch? Are you doing it board by board?
8x10?
Yeah, is it board by board? Is it the whole thing?
I think you could probably lift it. I mean, I'm guessing that it was not, you know, it was it was later attached to this structure.
It was an
double
addition.
Wide.
Yes.
And so, like, you know, you pull up a trailer and then you get a bunch of Amish guys and lift it up.
You guys are good with the raisins.
You know how to lift a board? Get over here.
So the stolen porch, it didn't fit the perp's house or his trailer or work for his plans for the remodel of, like, his duck blind. Uh-huh. Whatever he had going, because the local police, they found the stolen porch. It was returned to the victim and placed upside down on the owner's property.
So see, they didn't break it down poor.
Yeah, no, they didn't. I seen the picture. I knew the
answer.
Wow,
they flipped it.
Yeah, they took it apart whole and then they brought it back whole and flipped upside down.
Middle finger.
Like, here you go. Take that, Stanley. Now, this next story, Elizabeth, it felt like it could happen in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
Keeping things larcenous for the moment, in Chicago, a TV news crew from Univision was covering a recent wave of armed robberies in the city when the news crew itself was... robbed.
Oh, God, that happens all the time here.
Right? Yeah. So the news crew was out filming at 5 a.m. in a neighborhood called Wicker Park. And as the reporter prepped for their stand-up shoot, a black SUV pulled up, followed by a gray sedan. Three men stepped out of the two vehicles. The men were, quote, wearing ski masks and displaying firearms. First, the masked men demanded money. Then they saw the news camera and they got new ideas. They're like, why don't you just give us that? They're like, oh, also, we're going to need, they took two bags of equipment because you need the cables. And so they also took the cameraman's personal backpack because, you know, there may be some stuff in there.
Sure.
Then they fled into the purple of the early morning. And the news crew was like, I guess the stories are real.
I guess. That happens out here.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm an Oakland native.
Die hard, yeah.
This is my hometown. I love Oakland.
Yes, you do.
But I know that we have a lot of problems. And I was out of town recently,
mm-hmm.
and I was coming back from the airport in San Francisco in
yes.
a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we got across the bridge, to my right was an encampment fire underneath the freeway.
Yes.
So like plumes of smoke
pouring up
huge
past the freeway.
Huge flames
yeah,
licking
it looks
the
dystopian.
Cement. And then from behind, a high-speed chase of, like, a car just speeding by and then all these CHP officers.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and
welcome
I was like,
home.
Welcome. I am home.
Oakland
I
embrace.
I am home. Yeah, so
that's
I still
fun.
Love it. I still love it.
It's fun for you.
Yeah, it was super fun for me.
Well, for this next one, Elizabeth, you know, let's just keep it in a mood. I'd like you to really let it happen. Let it wash over you. And to do that, I must ask you to close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
And picture it. It's the month of August, and you are in eastern Nebraska. You are a Hawaiian hula girl dashboard bobble.
Oh,
at
wow.
the moment, your grass skirt is swaying with the motion of the road. This makes sense since you are affixed to the dashboard of a white 1991 Ford Taurus.
Ooh.
To your right is the driver. He stares forward at the flat horizon of the freeway as he pilots his car eastbound on Interstate 274. Seated to your left in shotgun is a 1,600-pound Watusi bull. The three of you are out for a Wednesday morning cruise. Mm-hmm. That's when you hear it, the sirens. Behind you is a patrol car from the Norfolk Police Division. Moments earlier, the police received a call from a concerned motorist about a car driving around with a cow in it. The police from Norfolk mobilized. It didn't take long for a patrol car to locate the car in question, your car. Now the officer has the lights and the sirens on. Your grass-skirted hips continue to dip and sway as the 91 Ford Taurus pulls over to the side of the road. The cop steps out of the cruiser. He slow walks up to the driver's side. You watch his approach. The driver rolls down his window and he greets the cop. Good morning, officer. What seems to be the trouble? The cop looks past the driver, wholly ignores you, the dashboard hula girl, and instead he focuses entirely on the 1,600-pound African bull with the wide-swept horns.
Oh, my God.
Sir, is that a bull in your vehicle? The driver chuckles good-naturedly. Yes, officer, a Watusi bull. Watusi, you know, like the dance craze? His name is Howdy Doody, if you want to say hi. You know, like the puppet? If you could laugh, you would, but being a sun-baked, inanimate statuette, you remain quiet. The officer looks at the Watusi bull, Howdy Doody, and then back at the driver. You convert this car yourself? Yes, sir, the driver replies. The officer is referring to the fact that the 91 Ford Taurus has been modified to fit the 1,600-pound bull. The front windshield is cut perfectly in half. The roof of the car is also split and peeled open. On the passenger side door, there is a cattle guard gate. It's bright and yellow and shoved up against the white of the sedan. Then the cop looks at the back of the car, where there is also a long, windswept trail of fresh cow flop plastered against the rear window.
Oh, my God.
He just shakes his head.
Oh, my God.
Elizabeth, the whole scene looks about like this.
Wait, you have a picture of this? Oh my God. Oh my God. It's like so close to what I was imagining, but so far. Oh my God. Wait, let me turn it around. Let me see it again. Oh, wow. He's way far, like way outside of the vehicle.
And those are big horns. I mean,
he's huge.
I like it because he's got bull horns on the front of the car horns coming out of the car attached to a bull.
Right.
So anyway, the Nebraska cop, he asked the driver for his license and registration. The driver dutifully hands over his license. The cop reads it aloud. Mr. Lee Mayer of Neely. Now, I don't have a specific vehicular code I can cite, but I'm fairly certain you are in violation of some kind of Nebraska traffic law.
Right.
I'm going to need you to turn this rig around and you take Howdy Doody back home. That understood? You watch as the driver considers this. He thinks for a moment, then he says, would it be okay if I take Howdy Doody to Omaha so he can see the Henry Dorley Zoo? He really wants to see the giraffes. I've told him all about them. The officer looks at the old farmer. He's dumbfounded. But then he finds his words. No, no, you cannot take Howdy Doody to the zoo. Why would you think you could take a Watusi bull around in my city? Look, mister, I'm trying to help you out here. I'm not going to ticket you. I'm going to let you go today with a warning, but only on the condition you take Howdy Doody back home and you don't bring your bull back to town. You wait to hear the reaction from the driver. You're certain it's going to be fun, and he does not disappoint you. You know, this used to be a great country, a free country. Nowadays, you can't even bring a bull to town without running afoul of Johnny Law. What happened to my America? Now, you have to stifle a laugh since dashboard hula girls can't actually express emotion. The officer chuckles to himself. He seems satisfied. He walks back to the patrol car. The driver turns to the 1,600-pound Watusi bull and shotgun. Well, Howdy Doody, you heard the nice man. I gotta take you back. It's not my decision. I don't want you being in a mood the whole way home. Like that, the three of you head back home to the farm.
Oh my God.
Right? Watusi.
Watusi.
So let's take a little break, and after this, we'll get into the autumn of crime and the wintertime of felonies.
Ooh.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert.
Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
This next story, Elizabeth, is low-key brilliant.
Woo-hoo.
Yes, a 22-year-old man from Warsaw, Poland, had mastered the art of posing as a mannequin.
Oh, okay.
So what did he do with this rare skill? Did he stand around in tourist spots, sprayed in metallic paint?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Entertaining travelers in the vain hope that they might part with some folding money for the show? No. Hell no. Instead, he took his mannequin act to somewhere far more lucrative, Elizabeth, a local shopping mall. But rather than perform for tourists, he did the next best thing. He performed for himself. The deal was this. He would dress as a mannequin, he would pose in a shopping mall, and then he'd wait for the mall to close and for security to go home. And then he'd come back to life and rob the mall.
Wow.
He did this on more than one occasion. And apparently after hours, he'd wander through the mall, he'd steal clothes, he'd pocket some jewelry, he'd go gorge himself on some food court meals, then he'd go do it all over again. One surveillance image released by the cops that showed the 22-year-old man on the floor sliding under a security gate into a clothing store while he had just gotten done enjoying his food court dinner.
Now, oh my God.
In case you were wondering, well, Sarah, what does this look like? Well, I've
yeah,
got
like,
you covered, Elizabeth.
The thing is like the mannequins don't really look realistic anymore.
There's a sign here that says Wrangler and then Barbie. Yeah. Just to the side of that is the mannequin.
He's really good.
Right? It looks totally believable.
Looks totally believable.
So that lifeless man, he pulled off this crime, and eventually he did get caught. But for a long time,
okay.
He just got to have a good old time by himself. Anyway, you ready for another dumb one?
Yes.
Okay. The former Fugees rapper, Praz Michelle,
yes.
has been going through it lately. Have you kept up with his legal
little
travails?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. So he was involved with Joe Lo, who was the disgraced financier at the heart of the 1MDB bank fraud case where some fraudulent funds from Malaysia were used to make the movie The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
So Joe Lo is friends with Praz, and this friendship may have cost Praz everything. Now, he's in federal court right now facing 20 years behind bars. Now, most recently, Praz has interrupted these proceedings because he is asking for a new trial because Praz is suing his own lawyer for using AI to craft the closing argument for his legal defense.
No.
Facing 20 years on a federal rap, his lawyer is turning to AI. Just come up with an argument. Right?
Oh, my God.
An AI lawyer for a federal case. That's the bleakest use of AI
it's
I can think of. People
oh
are like, look
God.
At six fingers. I'm like, this bro is getting hauled to court.
Right.
Anyway, in light of this, Praz has asked for, as I said, for a new trial. He's facing 10 criminal counts involving money laundering, witness tampering, other financial crimes. Not something you want an AI lawyer to be parsing through.
No.
His lawyer, meanwhile, David Kenner, allegedly, quote, used an experimental AI program to write his closing argument, which made frivolous arguments, conflated the schemes, and failed to highlight the key weaknesses in the government's case. So, yeah.
Anyway. I mean, here I'm worried about, like, students, you know, using AI for papers, and I'm
plagiarism.
Not even teaching anymore,
but exactly.
It upsets me.
But imagine lawyers using it.
Oh, my God.
And you know the people who are going to use it are, like, the lawyers, like, it's the bad lawyers. It's not going to be, like, the expensive lawyers.
Yeah.
In this case, actually, it was an expensive lawyer, which is even
well,
more worrisome.
That's the thing, yeah.
So this lawyer, he was so geeked on AI, he did a press release for the company, iLevel AI, and he noted in his press release that the AI lawyer was, quote, an absolute game changer for complex litigation.
Oh my God, this guy is 100% on the waiting list for that Tesla truck.
Oh,
he's
yes.
that kind of ding
number seven.
Yeah.
So the company noted that Kenner's use of the AI platform was the first ever use of generative AI in a federal court case. Because it's not a good idea, people.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep in mind, Kenner, as I said, he isn't some fly-by-night lawyer. He has represented Snoop Dogg.
Ooh.
But anyway, at the moment, there's no regulation about using AI in place of a real lawyer. But if you used AI, then you probably know you wouldn't want it to be defending you when 20 years is on the line.
No.
If your AI lawyer can't tell why human beings should have six fingers, you're going to jail, son. Like, just that's it.
Oh, my God.
And if you're wondering what Praz is on the hook for,
yeah,
he accepted around $88 million to introduce the disgraced Joe Lowe to President Obama and President Trump so that Joe Lowe could make the case for the U.S. to drop its legal case against him and he could get, like, immunity.
Uh-huh.
The dude has been on the lam this entire time. He remains on the lam. And with most folks, they believe he's somewhere in China hiding out because there's no extradition treaty with the U.S. And they'll be like, yeah, we love a guy who gives the finger to the U.S. So
Word
to the wise, though, as I said, if you are a rapper and someone offers you $88 million to meet the presidents of the U.S. and you take that money, you going to jail, son.
Yeah, 100%.
That person is paying you that much because he expects you to wash away his crimes.
Uh-huh.
And if they need that $88 million to wash away their crimes, those crimes are going to get on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, just word to the wise. So every year around Halloween and the holidays, people make news headlines. We see this. Like, sometimes it's like, oh, an inappropriate Halloween costume at a work party.
Oh.
Or like, oh, I'm the leader of Canada. I shouldn't have worn that. Right? Or like, are there Christmas decorations that offend the Homeowners Association president of their neighborhood or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't have that
it's
Santa.
It's too bright.
Exactly. That's too big. Anyway, there's this story, which mixes up all the tropes.
Uh-huh.
A Utah community came down hard on one of its own after this dude erected in his front yard an eye-grabbing Halloween decoration, Elizabeth.
Ooh.
The decoration in question was a skeleton in a purple wig, working the stripper pole, dancing for other skeletons.
What? Was it one of those 12-foot skeletons?
No, it's a normal, regular, human-sized skeleton. But there's a stripper pole erected in this guy's front yard, a couple skeletons in chairs, like lawn chairs, with like beers in their hands and like hats on, and they're like mouth open cheering for the girl, and she's like up on the stripper pole upside down.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, and this was in Utah?
In Utah.
Oh, good luck, buddy.
So the homeowner, Christopher Fujishin, he said of his creation, maybe a little risque for some people, but it's all in the name of fun. Now,
no.
The city of Grantsville, Utah, they said, we really don't see the fun in this.
Yeah.
And the town chose to post photos of the skeleton strip club on the town's official Facebook page, which to me seems like the wrong answer.
Yeah.
But whatever. The photos were attached to a warning that Fujishin had until 9 p.m. on October 18th to take down his Boneyard strip club.
Did they tell
or
him
else?
Or did they just put it on Facebook and expect him to see it?
Exactly.
But did they tell him directly?
They put it on Facebook, expect him to see it.
Oh my God.
At least that's how the news story's painted. I'm sure they probably reached out to him. I have to believe
it. You know, the thing is, like, Halloween is for kids.
Yes.
You know, first and foremost. Like, mm-hmm. You can have, like, Halloween parties for your, you know, adults or whatever. But, like, especially in your yard, like, that's for, like, it's a kid's thing. That's not for kids, the strippers and the what's not.
This is what it looked like, Elizabeth.
That's first of all, it's not even that well done. I'm an expert at Halloween decorations
you
in the
are.
Yard. You've
yeah.
seen. You've seen the years of all my stuff. Uh-huh.
And makeshift stripper poles.
That's,
I mean, just...
that's not good.
No, it is not good, Bob. Now, as you might have guessed, Elizabeth, the locals of this small Utah town, they also soon took to Facebook to express their disappointment, mm-hmm. their disgust with their neighbor. As one local put it, I guess teaching our children respect, decency, and manners has gone by the side.
Yeah, well, it has.
Yeah, thanks, Susan. But I'm glad we got that sorted, huh?
I'm with Susan.
But, you know, you could be teaching physiology this way.
Oh, get out of here.
Anyway, my man Fujishin, he had his own two cents to throw in. He said, if your kids understand what that is, maybe the problem's not the skeleton dancing on the pole. Maybe it's something else.
Oh, God.
I was like, bro, that's not the way.
That's so not the way.
Come on now. Anyway, shots fired by my man Fujishin. In response to the city prohibiting his skeleton strip club, Fujishin moved his skeletons away from the corner where they were too close to the city-owned stop sign.
It was on the corner?
On the corner, like basically right up using the street.
On his own little track?
The stop sign, yeah. So instead, he moved them onto his own lawn where he felt freedom and good old-fashioned American values should allow him to keep his horny skeletons as a decoration. Anyway, a few locals, they thanked him for giving their town the much-needed gift of laughter, Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, honestly, who doesn't like a holiday season with a happy ending?
Oh, God.
What? Oh, God. Just hit flat. So for this next story, you have to start with a colorful headline from the New York Post.
Okay.
Carjacking suspect trapped in a porta potty by golfer following police chase. I got on me, bro.
That's the headline?
That's the headline, yeah.
See, again, the decency.
Yep. You ready for a banger of a story?
I'm so ready.
Okay. This man was one of four wanted criminals. All were wanted in connection with a stolen car. The man in question, he made a run for it, and they got involved in a hit-and-run crash. He tried to get away in a Dodge Durango. The SUV gets reported stolen from Plymouth, Minnesota.
Okay.
We're in Plymouth, Minnesota. Cops from Glendale, Minnesota, they pulled over the stolen SUV. But when the officer got out and approached the vehicle, the SUV sped off. You'll hear this over and over again, right?
Yeah.
So the cops radio ahead to other officers. They're like, I'm not alone. So second cop tosses a spike strip out on the road to flatten the SUV's tires, but the driver sees the spike strip hit the road and swerves into oncoming traffic to avoid it.
Oh, God.
Never a good idea.
No.
What do you think happened?
Crash.
Yes, head-on collision. And the Dodge Durango SUV caromed off the first car it hit, sped off across the grass median strip, then it hit a traffic barrier and came to a smoking stop. At this point, this criminal clown car just erupts. People just start pouring out of it. And four men eventually run all in different directions. One suspect gets caught on scene. Two others, they run off towards a golf course. Another one, he runs in a different direction. The first two, the one who they went on to the golf course, they stayed hidden and obscured in the rough. You know, that's like the edges of the golf course.
The woody area.
Yeah, the woody area. So they're like going along in the trees and the tall grass. And then one of the men, he sees a better place to hide. So he runs for it. He goes cutting across the fairway and he darts into a porta potty and he closes the door. While the cops see his partner running through the rough and they chase him because he's still on foot.
Yeah.
Seems like it's working out great.
Right.
Dude hadn't counted on two golfers who had spotted him run and go and hide in the porta potty. The golfers also spotted the police cruisers going across the grass, and they're like, I bet these are related.
Right.
So Alyssa Boland, a local realtor, she recalled the scene. We were looking at each other like, are you serious? That's where he's going to hide? So the other golfer, Adam Westermeyer, he casually walked over to the porta potty and he tried the door, but it was locked.
Sure.
It was, you know, there's somebody in there. So what he did next, it surprised him. He was like, well, I don't know. For some reason, he decides to kick over the porta potty so that the door side was down, pinned against the grass.
I was hoping you'd say that.
So meanwhile,
I'm loving this.
Alyssa was filming it all on her cell phone.
Of course.
And she recalled, Adam tipped over and we heard the sloshing from the porta potty. That meant the contents of the crapper were spilled up and out of the toilet and into the compartment section of the porta potty.
Oh,
the dude
God.
Inside was suddenly piloting a honey wagon from the inside. Right? So the carjacker, he's staying with the blue water and all of the days, if not weeks of filth from all the golfers' droppings.
Oh, I'm going to be sick.
And the man who kicked it over, Westermeyer, he stoically said, for viral effect, good luck, man.
See, don't record that kind of thing.
Right?
That's just something you tell in legend at
a
bar.
Exactly. You just let people.
And everyone knows the story. But like, you don't want evidence because you could hurt this guy.
Totally. There could be repercussions.
Yeah. So.
Well, the two golfers, they waved over to the police, still in hot pursuit of the other fleeing perp. And meanwhile, the dude with the filth all over him, he's shouting from inside the porta potty now. He's begging for someone to come. And when the police show up, he's like, fine, that's good enough. Let me out. Right? The police are only too happy to oblige him. So first they draw their guns, they aim it at the porta potty, and then the cops, they ordered the crap-covered perp to crawl out, dude. But he can't get out, so then they have to push the porta-potty over so he can climb out.
Oh, God.
So it sloshes again. That's when the poop-patinaed perp shouted to the police, bro, I got on me, bro! Oh, so God. Then he crawled out, and he raised his hands high in the sky. And you know there was some serious and heated discussion about seniority as the cops debated which of these officers
who's gonna have
who needs to take the perp back to the station house in the back of his patrol car, huh?
You gotta call the fire department to come and hose him off first. That's just the only one. You know, if I kicked that porta potty over and the cops asked me about it, I'd be like, I don't know, he was just like running around.
Yeah,
I saw
jostling.
It bouncing and he knocked it over himself.
Maybe there was an earthquake.
As I've made clear, I will lie.
Yes, you
to
will.
The police about these
sober
sort of
tongue devil.
Uh-huh.
Well, so there you go, Elizabeth. There are the best, most ridiculous crimes of 2023.
Those were amazing.
There was a bunch that I left out that were just kind of depressing, where a bunch of people they hit each other with food. There were like people hitting each other with pepperoni pizzas and chicken. It was just a whole run of like family members hitting family members with food.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's
so just
upsetting
know,
and wasteful.
I protected you from
Thank
that.
Thank you so
You're
much.
Welcome. So what's our ridiculous takeaway here?
Oh, man. 2023. What
right?
a year.
Take it away.
What a year. I'm done. I'm done, but I'm afraid of 2024.
It never gets better.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Everything went downhill after David Bowie died, is what I've been told.
Oh.
That was...
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like, sure. Okay, I'll go with that. Why not?
Sure.
So he was the belly button holding it all together.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Yeah. So there's no hope for us then.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, what if Amon can put it back together, his ex-wife? Maybe she knows the secret power
Let's
words.
Let's summon her.
I guess his wife. She's not his ex-wife. His widow.
Yeah, his widow.
Yeah,
Let's
sorry.
Summon her.
You get my words right. Anyway, as always, thank you for listening. You can find us online, Ridiculous Crime, Twitter, Instagram. We have a website, ridiculouscrime.com.
Yes.
We also love your talkbacks. So talk back at us. Get on the iHeart app and let those lips, you know, flap. You can also email us if you want. So, you know, let those fingers wander on the keyboard. Hit ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. And we'll catch you next crime. Thanks for listening, people.
Bye.
Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by the detective Elliot Stabler to our Olivia Benson, Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa. Why is there always a story about a porta potty, Brown? And Andrea, I just want a pet bull, song sharpened here. Our theme song is by Thomas. You know, I've also been called a naked opera singer. Lee and Travis, bro, you shouldn't tell people that. Dutton. The host wardrobe provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben, I love the crime, Bolin, and Noel, I love the ridiculous, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.